Receiving this morning as we sing these songs and as we sing these promises, I want to just say this scripture over you as we sing. It's Psalm 5. It says, "Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord, and you surround them with your shield of love. So let us sing, let us be in that posture of worship to receive His love. Amen? Amen.
Time of worship. We're going to continue our series called Toe. If this is your first week with us, you're going to have to wait for me to explain Toe. So anyway, we're glad you're here. We got a couple of really cool things happening. We have a family meal following the service. So at 11:30, we're going to be eating together. I think we got some great food in store. So hopefully you brought an appetite. So if this is your first time with us, we get it that it'll be kind of a risk for you to go like, well, do I want to go have a meal with these weird people too? And we're hoping that you'll say yes. Come have a meal with us. It's just, you got to go down the stairs and then take a left. Go right through the kids area at the very end. There's a cafeteria and we're going to be in there. We'd love to have you come join us. We're going to have a special table for guests. So if you've been coming just a couple of weeks, we have a little table just set aside just for you. So look for the I believe there's a little sign there that says guests, come and sit at the table there, and I'm going to hang out there with you, and it'll be a great, great time. A couple other things to know. Next week, we're going to be having a baptism service. If you are interested in being baptized, following the service next weekend, we'll be doing baptisms. So love for that to be part of your worship next week, celebrating new life in Jesus. So anyway, how do you let us know that you're interested? Well, you fill out a connection card. Inside that worship folder you got when you came in, there's a little blue card. Take a minute and fill that out. And I see all of you are writing feverishly right now. You're just so excited about a connection card. Here's the deal. We're not going to be invade your personal space unannounced, but we would love to let you know more about Discovery. And one of the best ways for you to take that step is just fill out the connection card. Now, we're not going to pass any baskets this morning. On your way out, you're going to see a little box on the table. One says connection, one says offering. So we'd like you to drop that blue connection card in either one of them. You're going to see some people use the offering box. They're going to worship through their giving. And if this becomes your home church, we hope that that'll be part of your regular worship, is worship through giving. We are a generous church. We love to live generously in our community, in our world. And that all starts in our act of worship of living generously here. So if this becomes your home, man, get in the fun of living generously with the things that God has given you. But if you're a guest with us, you can walk right by that offering box. Just drop your connection card in there. Deal? Deal, everybody? Deal? All right. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray for us. The team's going to lead us in a song, and then in a few moments, we're going to jump into God's Word. If you didn't bring a Bible, you can get one on your phone in the next 15 seconds. Use the YouVersion app. I'll talk about that maybe a little later. There's also some Bibles over here on the table. And actually, I messed up something, Rachel, didn't I? The whole band's back here probably whispering to me. Guys, you have to sit down again. I've lied to you. You guys were just going to go for it. Man, I was really just moving, too. I was like blasting right through that stuff. Rachel, I have a microphone for you. So let me introduce Rachel. And Rachel's going to, is this on?
Yeah.
It's already on. Okay. Hi, Rachel. That was a terrible introduction. So, Rachel, how are you?
In Vancouver, Washington. And Pastor Fayez and his family came over from Egypt to start this church, and they have worked really hard to connect with other Arabic-speaking folks in the community, all just for the purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus and connecting and inviting them into Christian community. They have hosted newly immigrated families in their home. They have produced regular segments for a Christian Arabic TV station that broadcasts to California and all over the Middle East. And besides pastoring full-time and doing all this other work, Fayez also works as a caregiver at night in adult living home to help provide for the ministry and for his family. So all of this is just to glorify God and make him known in the community. So we are really honored to partner with this work, and Fayez has just made a short video to update us and ask for our prayer for his family and for the ministry.
Thank you, Rachel.
I think we have that.
Thank you.
Your prayer and support.
If you haven't been around Discovery very much, you won't know this, but I'm going to prep you that in a couple of weeks will be November. November has historically been our missions month, and over the next few weeks you're going to hear more and more about the ministries and the partners that you and I shoulder ministry with all around the globe. And Pastor Faez is one of those partners, pastoring a church just down in Vancouver, Washington, reaching Arabic-speaking immigrant families. And it's a very, very important ministry. It's a challenging ministry, and it's one that you don't see very often. And I want you to know that you're part of that. A few moments ago, we talked about the word generous church, and your generosity helps support ministries to some people who get overlooked all the time. And I think it's appropriate for us this morning not just to pray for ourselves, but take for a few moments and pray for Pastor Faez and his family and the ministries that they're doing. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering in this place. I know that we all walked in and different things are going on. Some of us, we've had the greatest week of our life, and some of us have had deep, deep challenges. In fact, some of us might be here because of the deep challenges. It's been true in my life and in so many of us in this room that the Spirit of God leverages and uses crisis. So I'm certain that some of us in this room are in some really raw places, and we're looking and longing for you to speak. But even as we are gathered in this place and we're thinking about really our little bubble, this morning we're reminded that the kingdom of God is quite large, and that we are part of a wide and diverse family, and we're not alone. We're actually shouldering ministry with people for whom English is not their first language. We shoulder ministry with people who have a completely different perspective of the world and life. We get to shoulder ministry with people like Pastor Faez. Today, as a church, we want to stand with Pastor Faez and his family. We ask that you would bless their ministry, that you'd give them inroads into their community. Father, that you would help them be the hands and feet of Jesus himself to immigrant families who are trying to pick up and start over. What an incredibly challenging task. God, we pray that their ministry would continue to be blessed and people would come to faith in Jesus through them. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to remain standing. We're going to sing a song of worship. If you don't know the lyrics, just hang in there. We'll repeat a few, and so you can catch up with us, okay? Let's worship.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, yeah.
Sing that again.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
I'm so grateful, Jesus, that over and over and over again you knock on this old heart, this callous mind, this cynical heart. I'm so grateful that you pursue. And I'm praying that over the next few moments as we sit before your word, that your word would be that sharp scalpel in the hands of a master surgeon. You'd speak. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning to have something to take some notes with. You're going to want to have a Bible, and you're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, but you're going to want to have something to take some notes with. I think that you came on a good Sunday. I think the things that we're talking about today are going to potentially provide some significant breakthrough for you and for some people in your circle. And so you're going to want to take some notes this morning. And if you didn't bring anything to take notes with, honestly, pull out your phone. And, we'll trust you're not checking your fantasy football, okay? And I want to encourage you to take some notes. So our series is called Toe, The Journey Back. And we're talking specifically about the journey back, when the journey back can be very hard. And if you have found the journey back to be hard, can you just say amen for me?
Amen.
Amen. The journey back can be really hard. Now when I say journey back, we're talking journey back to God, to his mission for our life and to his church. And we have talked about the last couple of years have been challenging, I think, on the church and the kingdom as a whole, and have been hard on us individually. And so the journey back can be really hard. There are hurdles, there are challenges in the way of you coming back to God's mission and the church. And so this whole month, the month of October, we're not only just talking about those hurdles, but we're talking about how to overcome those very real hurdles. And so I keep saying very real, because this morning I want to be tender, and I want to be honest. That the things we're going to talk about, I think, are deeply challenging. And this morning might be a breakthrough moment. And here in this place before you leave, I hope that you can make a decision. But it also may just be part of many moments that God is doing in your life. So we're in the Gospel of Luke. So we're not just in Luke for the month of October. We started a brand new journey through the Gospel of Luke. And if you're not familiar with the phrase Gospel of Luke, think biography of Jesus as written and recorded carefully by Luke himself. And so this is one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. We've just started our journey through this, and we're probably going to be in the Gospel of Luke maybe 2 years. There is so much. Actually, it probably deserves far more than 2 years. There's just so much in this Gospel. And in the early pages of the Gospel, Luke is introducing us not only to Jesus and to the importance of faith in Jesus. And we talked about in the very first opening sentences, Luke says, I have no secrets here. He says, I want you to know straight up what my intent is. My intent is that you have a brilliant and bright faith in Jesus. This is what will change everything. So Luke writes this because he wants your life to be turned upside down. He's just not telling a great story for story's sake. He wants you to know who Jesus is so that you put your faith in him. This will change everything. Amen? Amen. Now, Luke is not only getting ready to tell a story and the life and the history of Jesus, but he's also setting the stage. He's telling us about what is necessary before the work of Jesus. Would you say the word before? So he's talking about some prerequisites. And so these are the things that must take place in our life if Jesus is going to do the work that we long for him to do. And we were introduced in week two to a prophecy fulfilled. And the prophecy fulfilled is the coming of the Elijah figure who is called John the Baptist. So some of you remember from last week. There's a prophecy from the book of Malachi that there will be a forerunner. There'll be one who will go before the Messiah to prepare the way before. Again, something before Jesus comes in his works. And this will be Elijah figure. And this Elijah figure is going to be John the Baptist. And so we're introduced to him. And last week we talked about the importance of forgiveness. One of the very first things that John is here for is he's here to help us heal some broken wounds. Now, here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to skip over some things about John the Baptist and some important stories in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 because Christmas is coming and I'm saving them. So we're going to skip over a couple chapters. We're going to go to chapter 3, but some of you, if you're just really worried, like, man, he skipped over a lot of material, we're going to come back to it in December, all right? So in your Bible, I want you to turn to chapter 3 in the book of Luke. And what we're doing is we're going to pick up with John the Baptist. And no longer is he a baby. Now he is a full-grown man. And he has begun his ministry. And his ministry begins in the desert. And he begins teaching and preaching and doing the work of ministry in the rural places. And as he's doing this ministry, his ministry begins to grow. And people are attracted to his teaching about God, about eternity, about getting right with God. And people begin to leave the cities and leave the villages. And they come out to see and hear from John the Baptist. There's something inside of them. It's like, man, I want to be right with God. And I want God to be right with me. I happen to think that this is the imprint of God on every man, woman, and child. There is something inside of us that God left that draws us back to himself. We want God to be right with us and us right with God. There's this longing inside of human beings to be right with our Creator God. So they come out and they listen to John the Baptist and they're so moved that they want to make some religious declaration and let everybody know that they want to be right with God and God right with them. They say, we want to be baptized. Now, baptism is an important symbol in the church to this very day. Prior to Jesus coming, the symbol was a little bit different than it is now. It essentially was a public symbolic gesture for you to say, I want to be right with God and God right with me. It's a public way to say, I really, really want to get off the edge of the pool and I want to be in the pool and I want it all to be okay between me and God. All right? So all these people are coming out to John and saying, man, we love your teaching. Our hearts are warmed. These are good people. Everybody say, good people. These are good people. They want good things. Now, watch how John responds. Read with me in Luke chapter 3. This is what John says to these, what kind of people did I call them? Everybody again, what? These are good people wanting good things. They want God to be right with them and them right with God. I want you to remember this. Now listen to what John the Baptist says as he prepares them for the work of Jesus. Luke chapter 3. I've been practicing this, but I keep saying John chapter 3. I think it's because we're talking about John. But if I say that, don't flip your Bible to the next one over to the Gospel of John. Everybody just stay put in John, all right? See, I did it. Luke chapter 3. John said to the crowds, what kind of people are they? The good people. John said to the good people, the crowds, coming out to be baptized, this religious symbol, that I want to be right with God and God right with me. You're going to like this, by the way. You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What kind of people were they? Vipers. There are changes that you and I need to make. You know, if you're like me, that can feel like an infinite list. Anybody? I mean, I'm always thinking about the changes that I need to make. I think about changes in my schedule, and changes in how I plan, and changes how I respond to email, and changes how I tie my shoes, and changes to my exercise routine, and changes to my sugar intake. Anybody amen there? Preach it. Okay, preach it. So I can think of all sorts of changes that I need to make in my life. I'm always thinking about changes. However, there are some changes that are more important than others. Amen? There are some things that hinder your relationship with God and you coming back to God, His mission, and His church. Amen? And the Bible says that some of those things are so significant they need to be addressed now. John says to these good people, he says, I want you to have a picture of who God is. I want you to have a healthy picture of who God is. God has planted an orchard. And He loves and cares for this orchard. He has gone out carefully and He has planted a seed, and He has nurtured that seed into a little shoot, and that shoot into a little seedling after that. Maybe a seedling first, shoot. Eventually a tree. And God has tended this orchard over and over and over again, and He has waited year after year after year for this orchard to bear fruit, and He keeps coming, walking up and down the rows. And eventually, sometimes He looks at a tree and says, there is something wrong with this tree. This tree will not bear any fruit. It doesn't matter what I do, it will not change. And so a loving orchard planting God brings with Him down the row an axe. And His heart breaks. And He says the best thing for this tree is for this tree to be gone. And He leans the axe against the tree. And He says, days is the day. And then He walks off to go get His water bottle and His lunchbox. And John says, good news, everybody. I'm here at just the right time. The planter of the orchard is almost to his truck. He's grabbing his water bottle and his lunchbox, and he's coming back to you right now. He's on his way back to cut your tree down. You still have time. It's time to address the changes you need to make. I'm going to say that again. I'd like you to write that phrase down. It's time to address the changes that you need to make. Now, I want to be real specific about changes. There are things in my life, as I listed before, that are mistakes and foibles. There are things in my life that are just kind of, you know, they make my Instagram feed not look so good. There are things in my life that could be a little bit better. And then there are things that are hindering my relationship with God, and the Bible calls those straight up sin. It may be 2022, but sin still exists. And it's still raging through our lives and through our homes and our neighborhoods and our cities. And sin is destroying you, your family, and our generation. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Romans chapter 3 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every man, woman, and child across this planet struggles with this thing called sin. And this thing alone is what's keeping you on the edge rather than in the movement of God, His mission, and His church. The book of Isaiah says it this way, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is His ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities, your sin, the changes that you need to make have separated you from your God. Let me read that again. The changes you need to make are the only thing separating you from your God. They have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. It is time to address the changes that you need to make. There's a Bible word for this. It's called repentance. Everybody say repentance. There's a Bible word that's called repentance. Acts chapter 17 says, in the past, God overlooked ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to, what's the word up there? To repent. Acts chapter 3 says, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You might need to write down Acts 3:19. The refreshment, the healing, the restoration awaits one thing. Me addressing the changes that I need to make. The Bible word is called repentance. Now, there's a lot of confusion about repentance. In fact, I think you might be tempted to misunderstand me already this morning. The temptation when it comes to repentance is to think that God is waiting for you to get better. The temptation is to think, when we talk about repentance, that God is not going to move in your life until you fix all the broken areas of your life. This would be deeply wrong. This isn't the message of John, this isn't the message of Luke, and it's not the message of the New Testament, that God is waiting for you to get your crap together. You might write that one down. God is not actually waiting for you to fix all the broken places in your life, but He is waiting for you to repent. And so we're going to talk this morning about what true repentance looks like and what it is that God is looking for as you address the changes that you need to make. So number one, if this morning as you're sitting here, you're thinking, there are some changes I need to make. There are some things that are keeping me on the edge. I haven't told anybody, but it's not only does God know it, I know it, and it's real, and it's gotta be fixed. The very first step in the process, I call it fill in the blank. It's deeply unhelpful to just walk through life and say, I'm a bad person. I suck. I'm terrible. I'm lame. A lot of us have this misconception that God would like to just have you and I walk around in shame. God is not interested in shaming you in any way. God is interested in healing you and restoring you. And the very first step in the process is for you to get real enough to fill in the blank. In other words, you have to name the sin, the change that needs to happen today. You need to name it. You need to stop hiding behind, you know, churchy words and, oh yeah, things aren't going so well. I've got a real struggle. I get so tired of the word struggle. It's time for you and I to name it, to fill in the blank. Listen to this. In James chapter 5, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James says you have to name it. It's so interesting in the Gospel of Luke. Just after John says, you brood of vipers, the axe is laid at the tree, people are like, okay, what do we do? I love that question. Luke chapter 3, I think it's verse 10, they just simply say, what do we do? And John begins to go through a very specific list of things that they need to address. Things in the areas of generosity, righteousness, justice. These are the things he begins to press into, and he names them. If you and I are going to begin to turn and address the things that we need to address in our lives, we must first, everybody say, name them. We've got to name them. Look at this in 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses. It says, if we confess our sins, if we name them, if we get real and straight and fill in the blank, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you want to begin to address the changes that need to happen in your life and you're overwhelmed by them, let me suggest the first step, just fill in the blank. Second step, I call this retire happy. Everybody say retire happy. Some of you are thinking about your 401k plan and you're like, this isn't possible. I'm not talking about retirement. I'm talking about the word happy. Let's hear what some of the instruction from John to the crowds were in verse 11. John said, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. So let me ask you a little question. Do you think John is suggesting that food is sin? No. He's not saying food is sin. Is John suggesting for a moment that having two shirts is a sin? No. John is saying something else. He's saying there's a world of need around you that you continue to ignore, and you ignore this because you're focused on your own comfort. In John's day, it was just like us. So people love to dress in layers. Anybody here dress in layers? I do. I do all the time. In fact, today I've got layers. You can see I got a layer here, and I got a layer here, you know. And John's saying you do that because you're interested in your own comfort. And one of the great barriers to us making the changes that are necessary in our life is this mistaken notion that not only you and I are interested in our comfort, but God is interested first and foremost in our comfort. God's aim is not your happiness. God's aim is your holiness. And before you and I address any significant changes in our life, we must get this truth and retire the notion of happiness. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. One of the reasons why you and I struggle to make the changes that we know we need to make is because we keep waiting for an easy out, a simple solution, a solution we haven't thought of that will still maintain our own comfort level and our own happiness. John says before you live generously, you must decide you're going to live uncomfortable and walk around with one shirt. You have to decide in your heart, it's better for me to be cold than for my neighbor to go without. It's better for me to live uncomfortably than continue to miss out on the work and movement of God. The joy, the fulfillment, the purpose that you and I long for is not found in our own comfort. It is found in the presence of God. I love what David writes in Psalm chapter 16. He says, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. You fill me with eternal pleasures that are found and only found at your right hand. David says, I no longer want to chase comfort. I want to be found in your presence. If that brings a little bit of uncomfort here and now, I will gladly choose it. Amen? If there's some changes that you and I need to make, step one is that we have to name them. Step two, you have to say, okay, God,
I'm tired of the easy path. I'm tired of justifying this because I'm afraid to be alone. I'm afraid to be poor. I'm afraid to miss out. I want you more than anything else. This is the beginning of repentance.
Third step that John reveals to us is that the immediate beats the ideal always.
Now, I'm not going through everything that John said to the crowd and to the people there, but I do want to highlight verse 14. I'm just going to read it. Because what happens is that John talks, he puts this axe, he says, there's an axe against this tree, here comes God, he's going to cut down the tree. And then the crowd says, what do we do? And John says to the crowd, hey, you need to step into righteousness, justice, and generosity. You need to do so. You need to turn from your ways. Make a turn right now. And then after the crowd talks, then the tax collectors talk. Luke records the crowd, then the tax collectors, and the soldiers. I find this so interesting that Luke highlights the crowd, and then he says, by the way, in the crowd are a bunch of tax collectors that came. And in John's day and age, and in Luke's day and age, the tax collectors were the scum of the earth. These are the guys that sold out. They went into business with the most evil empire that existed that was oppressing them. And not only was the tax collectors there, but there were also the soldiers. The soldiers, they devoted their lives to use their strength and their hands and their powers to oppress their own people. And these guys are coming and saying, what should we do? Now, I'll just let you hear a little bit of what John says. He says to the soldiers, he says, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. All this is good stuff, but what strikes me is what is not said. What strikes me is that John didn't tell them to leave their jobs. Today in 2022, we would have said, you guys are part of the problem. You're part of the evil empire. We're canceling you. Right? John doesn't say leave your job. He doesn't say change your occupation. He says bring the heaven-like change to your occupation. Bring the heaven-like change that needs to happen to your present circumstances. Stop saying one day. One day when I have a better job, a bigger house, a faster car, a better husband, a better wife, one day when I got more money, less bills, one day when I live on the north side or the south side or the east side or the west side, one day and I'm a different circumstance, and then I can be a real Jesus person. John says, do it immediately. Do it now. Be the woman that God has called you today in this present circumstance. Be the man that God has called you today in this present circumstance. Stop waiting and wishing for a someday that may never, ever come. The immediate beats the ideal always. Amen? The immediate, say that with me, the immediate beats the ideal. Everybody? Always. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. There are some changes that you need to make. And let me just suggest to you, as a fellow person who needs to make changes, stop making excuses. Now, number four. My notes say this, only one completes it. The heart of the Christian message, as I mentioned before, is that repentance isn't about you fixing all the broken places of your life so that you're worthy of God's love. And John makes this clear in the end of his message. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John says to the crowd, he says, I baptize you with water. I baptize you with water, but one is more powerful than I that will come, and the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The word baptism literally means to immerse. So it was used not just as a religious symbol. We think of it only as a religious exercise, but in John's day and age, the word baptism would be used to like describe a ship that was sinking. It'd also be used to describe washing something. You know, if you're going to wash a bowl or some utensils, you'll take them and you're going to immerse them in water, right? And so when John's talking about baptism, he's talking about a symbolic exercise, but he's using a word that everybody understood as something that you'd use to immerse it in something. And John says, I want you to know, think of your life as a utensil. Think of your life as a misshapen fork. And today, all we're doing is we're just washing off a little bit of the grime, but after we wash it, we're going to shake it off a little bit, and it's still going to be a misshapen fork. It's still going to look the same. It's still going to feel the same. No ultimate change has taken place. The only way that we can change this misshapen fork is after we wash it and get all the debris off of it, we're going to take it over to a forge. And we're going to melt this thing down. And then once we melt this thing down, a master smith can make it beautiful again. John says, I want you to know what I'm doing here today is I'm just washing off a little bit of the grime. We're going to shake you a little bit. We're getting you ready for the one, the only one who can really bring change. His name is Jesus. And he is going to bring a baptism of fire. He's going to bring a forge. And when you put your faith and trust in him, that's when he melts and reshapes. And out of the forge doesn't come a broken, misshapen fork, but a beautiful, incredible piece of art. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus is not waiting for you to get the broken pieces better, but he is waiting for you to name the broken places. He is waiting for you to be hungry enough that you are willing to be uncomfortable and let Jesus have ownership of the broken, crooked places of your life that you have continued to try to hide from him. He is waiting for you to have enough urgency to say, today, now, I want the change. He is waiting for that. But it is him and him alone who will bring the change. Ephesians chapter 2 says, it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. This saving grace that you long for, this change that you and I so deeply need, it is the gift of God. It's not something that is done by the works of a man or a woman so that any of us can boast. It is by the grace of God alone. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says, therefore, I want you to know that if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in that furnace, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. I want you to understand that what was true 2,000 years ago from the message of John is still true today. There is a loving God who has planted an incredible orchard, and you're one of the incredible trees that he handpicked in the orchard. He has planted you and he has nourished you. He walks back and forth down those rows day after day, year after year, investing in you. And there are times when he comes up to your tree or mine and he says, nothing's happening. And he takes and he puts an axe next to the tree. John says, good news. Good news. He's on his way to the truck. He's grabbing his water bottle and his lunch. There's still time. And here's all that needs to happen. Name the changes that need to take place that are a barrier between you and God. Name them. Decide today that you're willing to be uncomfortable. You're tired of the status quo and you're ready. Have a sense of urgency and then come to Jesus and say, Jesus, will you take this broken life and will you make it whole? And ladies and gentlemen, that is biblical repentance. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for a heart that's willing and ready to say, Jesus, will you do something that I can't do? Because I promise you, that thing that's between you and God and his mission for you, I promise you, it's bigger than you. But it's not bigger than Jesus. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. Abby's going to play a little bit. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We have a couple of minutes. This is a little moment in your week that you slowed down the pace of everything else and you're here. And I'm just going to encourage you to do some business with God. While Abby plays, if there's something that you need to address, I'm going to encourage you to address it. I'm not going to repeat my whole message. Sometimes I do that when I get to this prayer time. I'm like, okay, let me go over this again. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust that the Spirit has spoken to you, and I'm asking that you do something with it. After a couple minutes of stillness, I'm going to pray, and then the band's going to lead us in another song. As the band begins to play, you're going to see a couple people show up here in the front. There's some prayer warriors, that's what they are, and they will pray with you and for you. If you would like to pray with somebody today, they're going to be here for you. So if you would, bow your heads with me, and let's do some business with God. There is one that baptizes with fire. There is one that seeks to harvest. And it is the one and only Son of God, Jesus Himself. For the last 2,000 years, Jesus, you have been pursuing wayward, broken people like me, like us. And you are not looking for or demanding that we clean our stuff up so that we will be properly received by you. Instead, you're inviting us to bring the broken pieces of our life to you. Watch you reshape them into something beautiful. If you're here this morning, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, let me suggest to you that it is the most important, vibrant, significant thing that a man or woman can do. And it could not be any more simple than what we talked about today. You could pray something like this: Jesus, I am ready and I am tired. My hands are filled with failure. And I'm asking you to save me. Jesus, would you save me? Something as simple as that can be the beginning of the rest of your life. We thank you this morning for these few moments in your. I pray that there were some first steps today of a long and beautiful and incredible journey. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, you're more than welcome to sit if you want to continue to pray or pray with someone sitting next to you. If you want to stand and worship with us, we'd invite that as well. There'll be a couple of people down here praying. I know Tad will come down here in a moment, and if you'd like to pray with someone, they'll be down here. After the song is over, I'll come back up and give you a couple final thoughts. Let's worship.
Keep me within your love.
you've won the battle. And while we are on this side of heaven, and we hurt and we taste and have tasted and seen what is good, God, we come before you, people broken who are desiring your healing, desiring your renewed spirit, Jesus. You are all that we want. You are all that we could have ever asked for. God, you exceed our expectations. You give us abundant blessings. That is the purpose and call of this Father, of you being our Father, you called. And so we receive your blessing exceedingly abundantly, Jesus, and ask that you would renew our hearts, renew our identity in you, and renew our spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, worship team. We give them a thank you. A couple of things. In just about 20 minutes, we're going to have some lunch. So if you want to stay and have some lunch, we would love to get a chance to know you and get a chance to meet you, share a meal together. We're a portable church. I think you figured that out. You're here at Lincoln High School. So it takes a lot of energy to set up and a lot to tear down. If you have a few minutes, like 5 minutes to 15 minutes or so, we would love to have your help. So I'm going to share with you, show you two gentlemen here that would help you. Charles, you could see him, or Tad. And either one of them will point you in a direction of something that you could do. Even if you have 5 minutes, if you say, hey, I got 5 minutes, I'll help. And they'll point you in a direction for you to jump in and help tear down a little bit. So we'd love to have that. Next thing, and last thing I'm going to say before we head out is that there's a table out here. We're going to be doing a harvest party for this neighborhood on the 29th? The 29th? Okay. So we're still looking for some people who want to jump in and help love neighbors. So if you'd like to do that, and again, even if you just have a little bit of time on the 29th, just stop at the table and they'll direct you in some things that you could do. All right. Get out of here. Love you guys. Have a great week.
Take it home and I'll praise you.